La maudite des vieux chauds.
I have seen the dark shadows moving in the woods, and I have no doubt that whatever I have resurrected through this book is sure to come calling for me.
David, you look absolutely terrific, honestly. You've got light blue on.
This is where the worst begins. This is where we must stop. For beyond is the work of madness. The nightmare of insane murder and lingering death. Get inside and lock your doors. Close your windows. Someone is watching you. Someone is waiting for you. Someone wants to scare you to death.
This is Albert from the Tuesday Show. You're listening to the goddamn Dave Hill Show, now on a flipping Monday.
No. You're an angel witch. And yes, literally in the last 15 seconds, I figured out how to use the virtual background function on this. It's amazing.
That is impressive, I gotta say.
At 2 years after the start of the pandemic, I have finally figured it out. Also, I realize I have the same living room as Tracy Carnazzo, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And one of my town council people has that exact same layout, too. You're going to the same place, I guess.
I find it unsettling.
You should.
It's more unsettling that half of your face is
floating. I know, yeah. Yeah, that's disturbing. This is blurred. I don't mean to. I didn't come here to blow everyone's mind. So,
whoa.
Let's just stop that. This is stop running. We're back in my completely messy office.
You should just take a picture of that and use that as your green screen background. So you still have the black glow around you, but
that would be nice.
Would be a little more.
Not to brag, but I do have a ring light on me also. If anyone's Ooh. Wondering why I look so amazing.
You're splurging,
I just
huh?
showered. There's been a ring light the whole time, but I just forgot. I'm a simple man, I'm a caveman in a spaceship. All by way of saying hello and welcome to the Dave Hill Good Time Hour. Who's making all that noise? I'm going to say, oh, wow.
We've got dual Dezes.
There's dueling Dezes. Oh, my God. How are you doing, boy criminal Chris Gersbeck?
I'm great. Fantastic.
Got it. That's a very handsome Mary Jo Peel shirt you have on.
Thanks.
Where can I get a shirt like that?
You can get this shirt and Dave Hill Good Time Hour t-shirts at dumb-industries.com. They're all there.
I love their quality garments as well.
They really are, actually. I mean, they really
no question
hold up, and the ink is nice. They're soft
quality. How are you doing, New Jersey Chicken Rancher Dez?
Doing well, getting some last minute settling in. So, well, thank you for bearing with.
What is that on your screen behind you?
I got some like fractal 3D generated computer graphic. Wavy stuff. I can punch out of it if you
No, I love it. It's very jam bandy.
You know, I'm trying to set the vibe.
It's like I'm at a John Mayer concert.
I got breaking news. I got Black Crowes tickets for the first time in a couple years now.
I'm shocked.
So I am too. I wasn't gonna, because they're still doing the whole we're gonna play the whole first album, 30th anniversary, even though that tour's been ongoing for 2 years now.
Yeah, and my they're different. Your volume is a little low there, Dez.
A little low?
We'll cut out that part where I said your volume's a little low when we release the slick version of this show on Friday.
Is that any better here?
Not at all.
No, I think I actually had your volume down a little bit. So now,
God damn it, Chris.
Sabotage.
Sorry.
I don't want this show to be too slick anyway.
No.
We have an incredible program tonight. I am still jet lagged, and I am battling, not to brag, severe stomach issues. Ooh. That could really make for some wild twists and turns of the show this evening.
It's threateningly exciting.
I don't know whether it was something I brought back from Kenya or something I acquired upon my return.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a wild scene over here.
Oh, man.
Without going into too much detail, because I'm a gentleman.
Best to stay home.
Speaking of classy.
In that case.
Yes. I'm going to be on the Mads tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's right.
That sounded like Dez was laughing at you, but I think it was a hiccup.
I had a slight cough. I had to suppress.
It sounded judgmental in nature.
Not at all. Not at all. I apologize.
But I'm going to be on the Mads tomorrow. A lot of people are saying it's the best episode of the Mads yet. They're saying it in anticipation of my appearance on the program.
Yeah, it's very much your first time on.
And, it's my first time.
The movie's going to be The Devil's Hand, which is a 1961 movie that's really, really cheesy and terrible.
You'd never guess it. You'd never guess.
and after the Trace and Frank wrote the movies, then we bring out our guests, and that's going to be you, Dave.
How exciting. Are you sitting in for the whole screening of it?
I don't know how that works.
You're forced to sit there and watch the movie, yes.
Oh, this sounds like hell.
But you don't have to do
it. No, I'm joking. I look forward to it. I would, even if that weren't a requirement of my appearance, I would insist upon it. I'm strapping myself in, making a night of it.
Yeah.
Good times.
As I'm encouraging all of you to do. Also, as if all that's not enough, I'm going to be at City Winery March 16th here in New York City with Chris Gethard, Caitlin Cook, Emily Panic, and Dan Licata.
Wow.
A night that's titled Dave Hill and Friends.
That sounds amazing.
Awesome.
It's going to be
amazing. AKA laugh your ass off.
Laugh your what off?
Laugh your ass off.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a wild scene. Wild.
I love it.
Oh, God. What's going on with you fuckers?
It's another breezy kind of night out here. It's getting warm. Pretty excited about that. Gonna attack the backyard again this year. That's about it. Life in the country now.
I love it.
You know?
Do you have any more livestock entering the scene out there?
We did get two chickens. I don't know if we discussed it even over the... Because there was a period of time we didn't do a lot of shows over the holiday, but we lost a couple chickens, so we got a couple replacements. No, that's okay.
How'd you lose the chickens, if you don't mind my asking?
Mother Nature can be a bitch, and she'll come quick and take what she wants.
I mean, are you saying that the chickens died, or they ran away and to start a new life for themselves somewhere?
They died. They died. One of them died on us, and it got sick and turned pretty quickly. And then a couple, it was a rough month. And then a few weeks after that, the second one, we found out it had some kind of tumor, some kind of growth. It wasn't acting right. So we took it to a chicken vet. And we took it to a regular vet who knew chickens.
But it was an animal specialist.
Doctor. Yes.
I don't know. I mean, it's right there in the name. I don't know why I questioned that. You did say vet.
Yeah.
But that's all right. What do you do with the chickens then when they're gone?
We buried them both up on the hill overlooking the yard.
Do you make little chicken signs for them? Like chicken tombstones?
We put like some big stones where they generally are, and between a couple trees. Nice. It's got a nice view over, you know, the coop and everything. And,
nice.
You know, I think eventually all the animals will end up there at some point, you know. And
that's a little creepy.
You're like the like the old guy from Pet Sematary.
Wait, they're all gonna
There? Well, you got to keep real. It's not fun, but it's a fact of life down here on the farm.
Oh, you know, you're saying they're all gonna die?
Right. Right. Once, whenever that day comes, no specific plan or anything, we'll just lay them out up there.
All right. This is a good question. You know. Do all chickens go to heaven? Yes, they do.
Sure.
Yes, Dan Wally, they do.
Yeah.
Chicken heaven.
Yeah, scratch for days. Chicken scratch for days.
Leo Zeppelin wants to know, did you sit Shiva for your chickens?
No, but I smoked like a real fat joint once we once we covered her over.
That's the poultry-based equivalent, I think.
Yeah. Probably, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, pay your respects. It's
beautiful.
Close enough.
I think it's beautiful that you're honoring the chickens in your own way.
Who are we if we're not taking a moment to reflect?
This is completely accurate.
You know?
Completely accurate.
So, yeah, that's what's been going on. So we ended up getting we got a pair of sisters. Well, I guess, no, one set of sisters, two girls, two more chickens.
Oh, nice.
They've been a lovely addition.
How can you verify that sort of thing?
It's a good question. We got them from somebody up the road not too far who was who raised them up from being hatched, and so the Providence, I believe, was in line, and we just go with what they tell you to.
All right,
they're chickens. You know, they look exactly the same. And
I trust you.
Yeah. So
I'm not questioning the veracity of your claim.
There's a certain level of faith you have to operate with in the chicken game. You know, take people at their word or you know, you're asking for trouble, really.
Someone from on high says, Dave's kind of a close talker. I'm just sitting close to my screen. In person, I'm very distant.
Yeah.
Physically and emotionally.
Keep your space.
I would sit back further, but can you still hear me all right?
Sound better closer up, but
you should be comfortable first and foremost.
A little sunburned, so I'll leave it up.
I am sunburned. I'm sunburned. I'm having stomach issues. That's all I'll say about that.
Is that a Kenyan hockey sweater you're wearing there?
I'm glad you asked. Yes, it is. I'm wearing a jersey for the Kenya Ice Lions.
Sweet.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm psyched.
What number you got on the shoulder?
23. And then it says Kenya on the back.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Very excited. And if anyone wants these, you can get them at friendshipleague.com. It's not where I got this one, but I know you can get them there. If anyone wants to, you know, get the look. How would I rate the logo? It's an awesome logo. It's
powerful.
It's like a golden lion with a hockey stick. Boom.
Is there like a shield that's a little different too? Like right at the neck there?
There's something on the neck, but I'm not entirely sure.
Is it K?
Oh, it says KH Kenyan hockey, and then there's like a shield from the Kenya flag, and then there's hockey sticks.
That's pretty nice. How's the stitching on it?
It's quality.
Feel comfortable? You're going to be able to wear it for a while?
Oh, I'll be. You can bury me out back with the chickens in this thing one day. That's how long I'll be wearing.
Good to know.
Most game shows quiz contestants about topics they don't even care about.
But for 100 episodes, the Go Fact Yourself podcast has asked celebrity guests trivia about topics they choose for themselves.
And introduced them to some of their personal heroes along the way.
Oh my gosh.
Shut up.
Oh, I feel like I'm going to cry.
Oh my stars. It's so, so exciting to meet you.
Join me, J. Keith Van Stratton.
And me, Helen Hong, along with special guests DJ Jazzy Jeff and Faith Saley, plus some amazing surprise experts on the 100th episode of Go Fact Yourself.
And join us twice a month, every month, for new episodes of Go Fact Yourself here on Maximum Fun.
Hi, Maximum Fun. It's me, James Arthur M. from Minority Corner. Okay, I got some good news and I got some bad news. Bad news, Minority Corner, after 7 years and 340 episodes, we are wrapping up our show. I know, but hey, good news is that means we must have solved racism and homophobia and sexism and equality and equity for all. Yay! No, we didn't. Well, I'd like to think at least that we are better off than when we started 7 years ago. So don't worry, we might be saying goodbye, but our episodes will live on in the podcast airwaves
forever.
Or until the internet crashes and burn, whatever comes first. Minority Corner, the final episodes right here on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcast. Minority Corner, because together we're the majority.
On that note, we have an amazing guest tonight. I've known her, I think, since I started in show business and comedy. I think, probably. Well, we'll have to check with her. But I've known her for a very long time. She's amazing. She's hilarious. She's a comedian and the host of the podcast Fake the Nation on the Earwolf Network. She's also a regular on one of my favorite NPR programs. Or maybe just programs in general. Wait, don't tell me. You can see her in Chicago at the Lincoln Lodge on April 15th and 16th and at Joe's Pub right here in New York City on April 30th. And if you want to know all the places you can see her coming up, go to her website at naginfarsad.com. I've given it away. Our guest tonight is comedian, author, actress, host, podcaster.
Keep it going.
Wife, mother, daughter. You're very stylish, in my opinion. Right, as V. Frankie is trying, great, everyone's saying great glasses.
Thank you, everybody.
And you have great walls wherever you are, if you're at home.
Yeah, and then there's that up there is a little paint, like a New York abstract of the New York City skyline, which
I love it.
Yeah.
The whole thing is, that's the stuff. I'm sitting here, I have clothes hanging behind me.
Oh, God.
Goddamn mess.
I wasn't going to come onto your august podcast looking like garbage. Come on.
You look amazing. I, on the other hand, I've showered, not to brag, but I rely on the fact a little too much that most people
don't shower.
People just hear the audio version. So they can picture me in whatever outfit they choose.
Right.
Throughout the proceedings.
Yeah. I'm just going to picture you in like a snakeskin tux, but faux snakeskin because animal rights.
Yes. This is exactly what I wanted.
Okay, good.
Thank you for joining us this evening. How have you been? That's a real wide open question. It's a real loaded question.
Oh God. I've been good. I've been doing the jobs of comedy and parenting. Parenting and comedy. That's basically all of it.
Together at last. Now, how old is your child now?
She's 3. She just
3.
Yeah, she recently turned 3.
So she must have, I feel like you just became a parent last time I saw you in person, which was, I think, shortly before things went crazy in this world.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And your daughter, tell me if you disagree with this. I have long argued that the best age to be in a pandemic is to be about 1 when it starts and 3 when it's over. I've said this from the beginning.
Have you really said this from the beginning?
I truly speculated, like, what would be the best age to be.
Yeah.
And it was that age, because I feel like you could still have all the fun, with the exception of interaction with other toddlers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess, which is key to their development, as I understand it.
Well, I think, okay, so I'm going to push back on with that and say that I think the best age is 0 to 2.
Okay.
Because I was
off by a year.
You're off a year because 0, they're just sitting around. They're kind of like just a handbag at 0, from 0 to 1. They are not capable of very much, and truly just chilling. So there's like, you know, bouts of they need things, but otherwise they're sitting around. And I think that's a really good age pandemic wise, because pandemic in this, but you know, first stages of the pandemic really involve a lot of sitting around.
Yeah.
So it kind of works well for their skill set, you know, for the baby skill set.
Sure. Now, this, as you're saying, this is making me think of something just baby related.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As an, you know, I will likely never be a parent unless something, you know, I have some wild weekend or something. But I've been an uncle many times over, and with all children, I find in that early stage, I'm like, well, this cat has nothing to offer to me until they're maybe about 3. Your daughter,
right, yeah.
As a mother, do you ever? Now, there's no wrong answer. You don't even have to answer this question.
Okay. Is the question like, is your baby a dick? Is that the question?
No, I would never ask that question. I'm saying, as a parent, are you ever like, oh my God, can I just come back and when this kid can actually do something?
Yeah.
I think send it to like baby boarding school and then come back when, you know,
when it's all sorted out. When they figured out how to put on socks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would be nice. I think like every parent has that thought, right? Where they're just like, God, do I have to go through this? And I guess that sucks. I mean, I think we're supposed to like really enjoy every phase. I will say some phases are more fun than other phases. And so right now, and have you heard the term, Dave? Have you heard the term threenager?
No, but I'm listening.
Guys, it is because apparently, according to internet blogs, threenager is a real thing because the hormone profile, again, please, call me Dr. Farsad. I know exactly what I'm talking about, but also none of it. According to the blogs, the hormone profile of a 3-year-old is a lot like the hormone profile of like a 13-year-old, where they're like just have a ton of hormones. They're like completely inconsolable and crazy. Half the time, the other half the time they're like deliriously joyful for some reason, and then the other half the time, because suddenly there's a third half of the time, they like are embarrassed about their leg hair and how their mom won't let them shave it. And so that's like, I think that the thing with toddlers and their crazy emotions and their, you know, they call it a threenager. And so that's what I'm experiencing right now. And so this is one of the age we have literally said, like, it would be so great to put her in like a private school so they could figure this part out and then give her back to us after this part.
You know, Des and I are going through the same thing with Chris right now.
Yeah, it's okay.
Essentially, everything.
Did you try giving him the green sippy cup, but he wanted the pink one, and there was like a meltdown?
The kid can throw. He's got an arm on him. It's impressive. I'm proud of that. Definitely, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted the green one, Des.
No, I know. You made battles. Des. You can't just.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Oh my goodness! Now, what's this kid up to now? Is the kid sleeping?
She's sleeping. Yeah. She's sleeping with like probably 25 stuffed animals surrounding her. It's arguable whether or not she actually fits in the bed with all of those stuffed animals. But again, in the way that you guys should have just let Chris have the sippy cup that he wanted, like, you have to pick your battles. Yeah. I can't be like 18 stuffed animals are a better fit for how much real estate you have. Like, that's not an argument that a three-nager is going to listen to.
Three-nager. Yeah, that's a good band name, even. Three-nager.
Yeah. And just start tweeting about it and creating general awareness of this term I vaguely know about.
I'm going to do it. I'm taking it upon myself as a childless man.
Yeah, yeah. I think you are the voice that parents have been waiting for.
That's, you know, I can come at it objectively.
Yeah.
I have no experience whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah. You know, this reminds me of, like, I am oftentimes asked to go on like some TV, like news, kind of cable news shows to talk about politics, you know, like a comedian's perspective on what's going on. Cause I like having comedians on that have no real expertise to make jokes about the political climate. And one time I did a radio show with Dan Rather, which is crazy. And I just always think about, like, what was that moment with the bookers, right? Where they were like, oh my God, we have one of the most serious journalists of our time, you know, the august, respected Dan Rather. Who should we pair with him on this show? And someone was just like, what about that dirtbag comedian, Nagin Farsad, who will like do anything for a drink ticket? I bet we could get her.
I don't think they said that thing about the drink ticket. Now, I have no doubt they called you a dirtbag.
They did call me a dirtbag. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, drink ticket is a little inside comedy for like a newsroom to know about. Yeah.
I think you're a good fit for Dan. You're intelligent. You know what's going on. You're not a mess like I am.
Yeah, no, that's, you know what? And the one thing they said when they booked me was, at least you're not Dave Hill. And I was like,
This is a common.
No, I get it. Let's get me on that show. Let me talk to Dan. Yeah.
I did a show, and I'm not trying to, I can't compete with Dan Rather, but I did do a show with Soledad O'Brien once.
Dave, everyone's done a show with Soledad O'Brien, and me too.
I knew you were going to say this. I know you have, because I read your bio. I know you have. You've been O'Brien.
Yeah.
But I did this thing where we were both supposed to interview the same person.
Hilarious.
And then the guy had to vote who did a better job. And I had to go first.
What was this for? Was it a live show or a TV show?
It was for this NPR show.
Great.
And I had to go first. It was like a coin toss. And then I interviewed the guy. And then Soledad O'Brien, who does this for a living, got like 15 minutes or something to sit and prep. Comes back and interviews the guy. And they're like, okay, who did a better job? And they're like, it's like, oh, Soledad O'Brien did. Or it's like, well, what did you think was going to happen?
Wait a second. Did you not use like hard-hitting journalism tactics?
You'd be shocked, but no, I didn't. I didn't.
What a nightmare. Yeah, that's embarrassing.
It was really, I was enraged. I didn't hold back either. I let loose on the guy. I let loose on Soledad O'Brien. I let loose on everybody.
Can I tell you the one time I let loose where I was really mad about a show was I had to do a gig in like San Francisco. And when they were bringing me a live show, whatever, it was like a fundraiser. It was like a gala type situation. And for some reason, like I got a sense that there might be children. And I was like, I just need to make sure there will be no children, right? Like at this event, because I'm not your comic if there's children. I make them, but I don't perform for them. and they were like, no, 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 no children, no children. I get there, 400 people, 200 of them are children, right? Just running around chaos. It's like a gallop at night. I don't even know how these children are awake. And I was in it, and they had no, the sound system sucked. Nobody could hear me. The opener went up. He like had a miserable 10 minutes. And then he was just like, and now please welcome Negin Farsad. Nobody heard him. Nobody cared. Nobody could hear anything. Children were screaming. I was on stage talking to myself, saying stuff like, if you've ever wondered what it's like for a person to talk to themselves in front of 400 people, this is what it looks like. I am currently doing it. And nobody heard it. And then I got off stage and this is breaking news, guys. I'm admitting something, like, get the think pieces ready. I stole a pie on my way out. And that was have it. They had like a pie, like a dessert set up.
Oh, and I'm proud of you.
Took a pie.
It's exactly how you do it.
Well, you should. What kind of pie was it?
It was a blueberry pie. I remember it very well. I ate the whole thing.
This is amazing. Yeah. I'm proud of it.
Yeah. I always how I let people have it.
You steal desserts. I respect that. I think it, when you're doing a show and there are children there, and unless it's like explicit, you know, they tell you that going in, that's a shame on the parents. Also, fuck the kids too.
Yeah. For whatever decision making they were involved in. Yeah.
You, there's nothing you can do. But no, it's what are you gonna do?
Steal pies.
You know what they're gonna do. Steal pies, and if it's a quiet, confusing ride home. That is their problem. Now you host Fake the Nation, as we've discussed, and you're a frequent panelist on Wait Don't Tell Me. Does your 3-year-old ever listen to either things, and if so, does she get freaked out?
The funny thing is, just yesterday we had to look. I'm gonna be honest with you. I still have cable, okay? So I don't know where that puts me. No, I know this is on Twitch, and I imagine nobody who uses Twitch also has cable. I don't know where the three of you are.
I have cable. I have a landline.
Des, do you have cable?
We have the internet through the cable company, but I don't have like cable
straight
TV.
Up cable. Chris, do you have cable?
No. I haven't had cable in almost.
I don't even want to. Don't make me feel bad, okay? But I have
judgment free zone.
I didn't feel judgment free the way Chris started out. Oh, you know what I mean? I just want to say deny him the sippy cup. I have cable, and we've been suffering through like a poorly functioning cable box for a few weeks. We finally called him up to get it fixed. So I was going through to see what was on there, and I was on some TV show on A&E, and I was like, I said to my kid, Mikhay mamano bebini ri television, because I speak to her in Farsi. That's just a brag. She's trilingual. Doesn't matter. Are you guys? Anyway.
Oh my. Well, I'll be honest. I missed a couple things you just said there, but I did get most of it.
So I said to her, do you want to see your mom on TV? And she's like, yeah. So then I turn it on, and then she was just like, all right. Like, she was not impressed or interested. I was like, you know, that's the same TV that also shows you Encanto, right? Like, you could be a little impressed. Impressed.
This sounds difficult.
No.
I know. These New York City kids, they have access to too much cool stuff, and it makes them think that everything is boring.
Now, what is the third language?
So Farsi is the language I speak with her. Her dad speaks to her in English, and then she does Spanish in a Spanish language program.
Who does she do that with?
Teachers and friends.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just people she knows from around.
Yeah. She's in a program, like in a Spanish speaking school.
Oh, okay. Now I get it. Okay.
Yeah,
I thought she was just like, you know.
She's like hanging out with the neighbors.
She's hanging out on the corner. She's got a whole
thing. We had a Spanish-speaking nanny. They're super tight. And then, you know, that turned into this a Spanish-speaking school. We're trying to do it real with the... I grew up trilingual, so I thought it would be fun if she had three.
I would be... I'd be happy if I could master the first one.
The one
I struggle with daily.
Well, or you could do the thing that I did, which is I have a mediocre grasp on three. So that's kind of where I am.
Yeah.
What was your third language? Was it also Spanish?
No, it's this really, really just super popular language called Azeri, which is the language of Azerbaijan. It's a dialect of Turkish.
I was going to say dialect of Turkish.
Yeah, I mean, you heard of it. You know it. It's because the region of Iran that my parents are from, again, stop me if you heard this all before, but that region, they speak Farsi and Turkish. And so I grew up speaking both just because everyone in that region is bilingual.
Now, when your parents would yell at you, what language would they use?
So mostly my parents spoke to me in Farsi. I responded in Farsi, and then they would speak to each other often in Turkish, and then sometimes they would speak to me in Turkish, but I would always respond in Farsi.
This is wild.
It's like also two languages that nobody really needs. I'm got them. You know what I mean? I really got them well.
No, those are good languages.
Sure. I mean, not in an economic or social way, but, you know, just like philosophically, they're good languages. Yeah.
But if you want to, you know, if you want to like talk and, you know, to the other person that knows Farsi at the party. You can be like, oh
yeah,
my God.
Iran is like a travel destination hotspot, right? It's like, what do you think of when you think of Iran? You think spring break, you think wet t-shirt contest, you think, you know, Ayatollah's doing body shots, right? Like Iran has it all, you guys.
It's what happens in Iran stays in Iran.
Vegas is actually based on Iran.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Fictionalized version.
Fictionalized real city version of Iran.
This is amazing. So now, do you have siblings?
I have a brother. Yeah, he's 13 years older than me.
Oh wow, he's much older.
Yeah, we didn't like grow up together, but he is my brother.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have, I was going to say, like, what did you guys speak to? But he was out nightclubbing and stuff.
Yeah, he was like, in college by the time I realized I had a brother. And, you know, I mean, he was there. We all lived together. It's just like, I was so little when he moved out.
He was like Chuck on Happy Days.
Oh, is that, I don't remember this.
That reference.
The kid who like disappeared after.
They just stopped referring to him after a couple seasons.
Wait, there was a child. How many children were there in that Happy Days family, the Cunninghams?
There's three Cunningham children. There was Chuck, the older brother.
Uh-huh.
And then eventually they were just like, can we just stop writing lines for this character?
And they just stopped.
Never
they just stopped. He was just gone.
Someone recently reminded me that there was a different mom on the Fresh Prince?
Isn't this true?
Oh, yeah. They switched the mom. Viv. Like after season four or something.
I think one or was it even,
true, yeah.
Yeah.
I love when that Fresh happens.
Prince, so. Oh, isn't it great? And I always think of like the actor. It's so sad. She probably was like, this is awesome. I have a stable job in Hollywood. Who gets to do that? Nobody. Oh, also me, not me either, because I was just fired.
Yeah, I think the story with her was she clashed with Will Smith, who was like 18, 19 at the time or something, and he had enough power to be like, she's got to go. So
wait, Will Smith got
beloved actor of screen and stage?
It's like not even, I think they did a reunion on HBO Max recently and they like fully addressed it. But yeah, like it was basically him just saying, I can't work with her anymore. And they were like, okay.
And in what way did he address it? This is fascinating.
It's weird. Like, I think he apologizes to her and she seems to accept the apology, but it's very, you know, it feels like very much like it was like they were coached on how to appear like, you know, there's no resentment and it was all, you know, water under the bridge. But like, he ruined her career, you know?
Yeah.
He's like,
you know, I have a great job at the post office now, thanks to you indirectly.
Yeah, it's nuts.
That is rough. That's rough.
Mm-hmm.
That's like Pete Best getting kicked out of the Beatles level.
Was he supposed to be another Beatle?
He was the original pre-Ringo drummer.
Oh, the pre-Ringo drummer. Right. Yeah.
Who toured, and then his tour was Best of the Beatles. Because he wasn't lying, he was Best of the Beatles, and so he would tour as Best of the Beatles playing Beatles songs.
Oh, that's fun. That's funny.
Just, you know, I have bad days just like anyone else, and then sometimes I think of Pete Best or the First Amphib. And I think, you know what, there's people that have tougher roads than I'll ever could ever imagine.
What does Pete Best do now?
I think he
just tours as Best of the Beatles.
I don't think he tours anymore. It's weird. If you see a picture of him, he does not look like he would have been in the Beatles.
What is he like, wearing a corporate suit and is like,
no, he's just very, you know how like all the Beatles now kind of still look like they're, you know, well, you know, Paul and Ringo still look a little like they have, you know, someone deciding what to wear.
Oh yeah.
This here, let me oh.
It costs a lot of money that Pete Best doesn't have to look
to
like
look good.
Ringo are these days.
Oh, I mean, yeah, they don't have like whoever's guiding Dave Hill.
Yeah. Well, I'm guided by the gods.
Clearly.
The style gods. So that, you know, I just have my regular guy look on. Tonight.
Is that some sort of a hockey outfit?
It's a hockey jersey.
The jersey, right.
There's
Pete Best.
Right.
Oh, there he is.
Does not look like the kind of aging rocker that we've come to appreciate.
No, he looks like he's about to serve you like a bucket of Heineken.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He works at a restaurant that has like that's like someone's name, right? Like Pete's Tavern.
I hope he's doing all right, though. He's probably doing fine, though.
I think he's probably doing great. Well, it's weird because does that kind of thing, here's the question, does that kind of thing haunt you in your mind every day for the rest of your life? Or do you just move on and you're like, don't think about it very much? There's no in between.
Takes work. I'd imagine it'd have to take work to get to that point.
Yeah, you would have to.
You can't let that go right off the bat so easily. I wouldn't.
But it was
that.
Like as soon as they replaced him,
like, they took off
the biggest thing. Yeah.
Did he get any residuals or anything for that?
I think they ended up taking care of him a little bit.
I would have given it. I would have just been like, you know what? I'm going to give him money right now. I just feel bad.
The thing is, like, he probably like. Forever, people be like, you know, Pete over here, he used to be in the Beatles.
Oh.
And they'd be like, no way, really? No, yeah, I was actually for what right before that.
You know, I haven't had anything as like high profile as that follow me around in life. But the one thing that I do think about probably once a month for my whole life is that in high school I was number two in my class,
and the salutatorian,
yeah, like a piece of garbage, I was number two.
That
I know
is,
you don't want me to get off the show like, because I don't even deserve it, but no, but Dave, it gets worse. Here's it. So I was supposed to be number two. There was an A- mishap in geometry. I don't want to talk about it. And
an isosceles triangle issue, I imagine.
You know me so well. It's like written on my face that it was an isosceles triangle issue. And I was supposed to be number two, and it was sort of like geometry happened freshman year, the mishap, and then it was just like solidified. I could never get into the top tier of the being number one. And number one was shared by these two other people. And I was just like, all right, this is my lot in life. I'm number two. Then senior year, a dude transfers into our school and he had a different set of weighted whatevers in his school. So he came in and slid into number one, pushing the valedictorians to number two and pushing me, Nikki, thought, into numero trois. I can't even say it. It's so disgusting.
Is there even a name for the third one?
No, it's like garbage, forgettable, like garbage person is the third one. You know,
you've basically described how Jimmy Fallon got the Tonight Show. This is exactly scenario.
Yeah. So anyways, it's not Pete Best level, but it is a thing that haunts me.
I was going to try to console you by saying that everyone knows that is it salutatorian?
Yes, salutatorian.
That's the fun one.
You're the one who went to one party at least.
Yeah, you could have a beer with the salutatorian.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you're number three.
No, and there's nothing to say about
that. You're just a face in the crowd.
Yeah, that's my life.
But it all worked out. You, my researcher tells me you went to my safety school of Columbia. Am I getting that right?
I went to Cornell for undergrad.
Oh, that's right. That was my other.
And then I went to Columbia for grad school. Yes.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Those were both my safety schools.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cornell. Man. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, that's. I mean, those are, to be fair, those are valedictorian schools. It all worked out.
There were a lot of valedictorians at both of those schools. Yeah. Yeah, I was with a bunch of nerds, Dave. I'll tell you what.
But it was that must be weird. Yeah, you said everyone's, because I went to Fordham, mm-hmm. and probably there were no valedictorians in the entire school.
Gotta be one.
Maybe, like.
Yeah.
Mostly riffraff.
Someone who wanted to stay close to home or whatever.
It's possible. It's possible. But it's almost probably at Cornell. Yeah, everyone's like, yeah, it's valedictorian. I was salutatorian, and then I was the third nameless one. I was the nameless.
I feel like that one story about me basically says everything you need to know about me as a child and in high school. Like I kind of gave it all away right there.
Now, do you know what became of the salutatorian and the valedictorian?
I know. I remember one of the salutatorians, because like there were two. I think he became like a graphic designer randomly, and then I think the other one became a teacher, and then I don't know what happened to the valedictorian, the like questionably real valedictorian. I don't know what happened to him.
See, they're all garbage. I mean, just based on what you've told me, all their lives just went down the shitter, and look at you won.
Oh yeah, that's one way of looking at it. Sure, yeah.
My high school salutatorian, if I'm remembering correctly,
it was at Soledad O'Brien.
No, it was the Congressman Ted Lieu.
What, really?
Yeah.
Wait, your salutatorian was Congressman Ted Lieu?
I believe he was. Because my friend Rob, I think, was the valedictorian.
Ted Lieu.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
He's absolutely, he's an amazing guy and very smart, very funny guy.
I'd vote for him if I was in his district.
Me too.
Where is he from? Where are you from?
We both grew up in Cleveland.
Oh, Cleveland. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it all worked out for him. I'm just, all by way of saying, sometimes it works out for salutatorians.
I'm really glad we tackled this subject on this show because it's just no one ever talks about it. It's kind of like the dirty secret of American salutatorians that nobody wants to talk about.
Well, you know, no one even knows the word salutatorian. Even I was unsure of it myself.
You pulled it out. I've been thinking about it once a month for the last, several years of my life, but you haven't thought about it and you pulled out that word. I was very impressed.
I still take the SAT every spring just to say stay sharp.
I love the SAT. Similes, is that one of the segments?
Yeah you have to I just do it just to make sure I'm not slipping. You have to I think it's good. Didn't they change the SAT so it's scored differently?
For a while it was okay, so it was 1600 forever. And then I think the scoring went up to 2400 or something crazy. And then I think they added an essay and I don't know what. And then they scaled it back down to 1600 because people were like, that essay is dumb. I think please don't quote me.
Well, I wouldn't bother. You're the number three. I mean, it's not. You're a salutatorian that I would take you at your word on this, but cut to
I get sued by the whatever educational testing service for spreading misinformation about the SAT's scoring system.
Well, it's a flawed the whole system is flawed. I think that the testing, the grading, the schooling, all of it is flawed. I mean, look, I didn't even come in. I don't know. There isn't even a number for where I landed. Look at me.
You're on a separate plane.
Look at me. I got this jersey, got a podcast. It all works out. I'm just saying, grades aren't everything. This is what we know.
That said, if there was a way as a comedian that I could rack up grades and like a report card, I think I would really...
They should do that.
They should grade, somehow do that.
Yeah.
Grade comedians?
There should be like a comedian report card at the end of the year done by a panel of impartial judges.
I want the educational testing service involved in that specifically. I think that would be great. And I want to be graded on a 1600 scale.
I feel like I would probably land in the same way I did in high school. Advanced placement classes, not testing or grading particularly well. They're like, well, clearly he's among the best and brightest, but he is a bit of a mess. Oh boy. I don't like this. I hope they don't start grading comedians. Or maybe they should. I guess if it worked out well, I'm gonna be the one
to spearhead this.
Yeah, spearhead. The funny thing is, like, the other reality is, in a more abstract way, comedians are graded literally constantly, right? By audiences and their laughter. And so, in some ways, we get told some shit every multiple nights a week. In a way that if you're, Pam and HR, like you're not getting graded that heavily all the time. Mm-hmm. You get a performance review once a year conducted by the Educational Testing Service. And that's it. Like, but when you're a comedian, you're getting graded constantly.
Not to mention, and with online comments, forget about it. I'm on TikTok now.
And as we all know, every online comment is really substantive and worth reading. So
it really is.
Do you have trolls on TikTok?
It really is. Most of it's very nice.
Are you dancing on TikTok?
I don't fight with
it. Are you dancing on TikTok, doing like some sweet moves?
I
Should be.
I danced once just as this way to try to
connect with the youth.
But no, just social commentary.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But no, but people will say things that they'll be like, "You stole this from Jerry Benumnuts 3658. You know, he did a video like this 6 months ago." And you're like, "Well, I don't know where that is."
Yeah. You just steal material from other people and put it on TikTok. It's just your thing. That's part of your art.
That's part of my art. Yeah. I'm like the Duchamp. Is it Duchamp who just signed urinals and things? Or am I getting that wrong? This is a question for Leah Zeppelin. Or maybe for whatever the number three high school student.
Dave, people are pointing out that you did in fact do your sexy kitty dance on TikTok.
I did do the sexy kitty dance, but that was just one TikTok. It's not all I do, Duchamp. Am I saying that right? This is, as much as I struggle with English, for me to pronounce
Duchamp.
Yeah. See?
I lived in Paris.
Of course you did. I would be horrified.
That's just my fourth language. I know I talked about the other three, but French is.
Wait, you can speak French as well?
No, I mean, I'm being a dick, but yes, I can. No, and anyone who listens to my podcast knows I come up with any reason to remind people that I lived in France. Fourth.
How long did you live in Paris?
It was sort of like on and off, like totaling something like 2 years.
Oh, that doesn't count.
That's just like a lot of vacationing.
No, I did like that 3 months count. And then I did it because I couldn't get visas more than 6 months. So I would have to come back after 6 months.
Oh.
And then, or whatever. So anyways, I waitressed there. I taught English there. I worked at a souvenir shop.
Oh my goodness.
What I mean? I had French boyfriends. Guys.
This is the whole world.
I spoke the language of love. You know what I mean?
This is amazing. I understand French the way like my dog understands English. Like I kind of know what's going on.
Right. Yeah. Which is all you need if you're gonna spectate.
Yeah. And to be fair, I'm not far off in Farsi. I speak about,
I saw a look of recognition in your eyes when I was speaking Farsi.
I speak a lot of languages I understand a lot of languages about on that level.
Right. You speak, you're multilingual in tone.
I can just get, like if someone's like, I can basically listen to about 10 different languages and be like, I think they're going to give me food.
I think that guy slept with his brother's wife. Those are like the two things you're really good at determining.
Yeah, the things that matter.
Yeah.
Well, we are just about out of time. We're at the 9 o'clock hour. We need to let you get back to your life. Let our viewers. Someone wrote, "I had Game of Death writes, I had French girlfriends in London." That's like a double brag, isn't it?
Yeah, right? It is.
Okay, so you were in London and you had
I
get it. You're worldly.
I got to second base with a girl from Akron in Toledo. So there. Thank you, Nagin Farsad.
Thank you. This was so fun.
And everyone, once again, be sure to listen to Nagin's podcast, Fake the Nation. It's an excellent program. I've been on it myself. You can hear her on NPR's Wait, Don't Tell Me. See her in Chicago at the Lincoln Lodge, April 15th and 16th. Did I say Chicago? That's in Chicago. And Joe's Pub in New York on April 30th. Go to NaginFarsad.com for more information. Where she's going to be. All that sort of thing. Thank you so much for joining us. Please give our best to your 3-year-old.
I will.
Whatever.
I shall.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
so
you.
Much.
Chris. Thank you, Des. Thanks for everyone who watched live in the futuristic Twitch format. Everybody. Thanks for everyone listening in the futuristic podcast format that will be out this Friday. If you would like to support this show, go to MaximumFun.org/join or be sure to subscribe to this Twitch channel. How hard could it be? What else can I tell you? March 16th, I'll be at City Winery, and I'll be on the Mads tomorrow night.
Yes, tomorrow night. Get at the devil's hand that event.
Good night, everybody.
Night.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.